Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation about women on the fringe, groundbreaking women in the paranormal with authors Denise A. Agnew, Marie D. Jones, and Nicole Strickland. How many women are featured total in the book? Because I started to count, and then I don't remember what I counted to.
There's 32, four memoriams, and then our three.
Okay.
Right. Essays or whatever you want to call them. So yeah, 32. So that's almost 40.
Yeah, that's a good amount. That's a really good amount.
So, we were like, oh, we'll be lucky if we get 20.
I know.
we were so stressed out in the beginning. And it just worked out great.
And I was so excited when I got the book and I'm like looking at the beginning, you know, the chapters and stuff as I'm starting the book, looking at the women's names who I'm going to read about. And then right there is my friend Andy. And Andy was on the show, Andy Rose. She was on the show maybe a couple months back. You can find the episode. And I adore this girl, and we live in the same town, and I've known her for years. And as I mentioned on her episode, we'd known each other a long time before I even found out she did paranormal investigations. Then I liked her even more. And she's had the most interesting things. So I was thrilled. And what was cute, what I love about her, is that we were talking about this book. And any other woman would have said, you know, I'm going to be in it. She didn't.
Talk about the humility right there.
I know. I
loved her story.
I love her so much. And she was, the episode with her was great. She had these really interesting experiences. And so as soon as I saw that, I sent her a message. I'm like, what the heck? Like, how did this not come up that you were included in the book? Oh, ha, ha, ha.
And that's not the only person that we've heard did that, just sort of kept it to themselves. And I think that's something that women need to work on, is it's so hard for us to promote ourselves or toot our own horns because, oh my gosh, people are going to think we're bragging or we're being arrogant, and which when men do, it's perfectly fine,
right?
You know, and I really feel like a lot of the women in this book felt that way, like, oh, you know, I'm not going to say too much about it. It's like, why not?
Yeah. And I think we mentioned in one of the other shows too that we were on that women have that tendency to be more humble in just about every way a lot of times, or at least more subtle about any of that sort of thing. But I think what this book can do is can show a lot more women, especially if it's younger women who read this book, and they realize that if they're this type of woman on the fringe and they're interested in these kinds of things, it will give them a boost, perhaps. And they will think, hey, I can do this. I'm going to stick my neck out and ghost hunt or Bigfoot or whatever the case might be. And I think that's a real plus if we can show younger women, this is okay. Do this if you want to do this.
Yeah, be proud of it and not, like, you know, kind of shy away in the corner.
And I think they can realize, too, there's a community out there. And they can find that community of women. And women and men together, working together.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was really impressed, though, like I said, about the diverse group of women that you were able to bring together in this book. For me, right off the bat, because everybody's listed alphabetically, which fair is fair. But Mary Beck, I found very interesting right off the bat, her talking about ghost excavations. And
that's when I read that the first time, I was very fascinated with that. You know, that's an approach that you don't hear about that often. She's stepping outside of the you know, proverbial four corners of a box, which is really cool.
And by that, and if Nicole, do you want to kind of dive into that a little bit about what she does that is different? Because I found that really interesting.
She delves from, you know, I'm trying to remember from actually reading it, she delves a lot into, like, cultural anthropology, looking at archaeology and seeing how that fits in. I believe from her story, she talks about studying the performance of people. So theory and practice of, like, dramatic arrangement, trying to reenact scenarios. Yeah. So she dives into all of that.
So I thought it was interesting because I think she is or was a teacher. And so there was some spirits of children. So she dressed up like a teacher from the era. And rather than asking, you know, what's your name? How old are you? She's like, let's play hide and seek. And, and an approach of being in a moment and meeting them where they're at, I thought was really interesting. Right.
Yeah, it's a little on like the lines of what's it called, Singapore theory, kind of adopting that theory in there. I remember reading her story for the first time and I was just blown away by it. You know, that's just a different way to approach paranormal investigation.
Now, did each of you find one of these stories or one of these women, maybe you weren't familiar with a woman, and then you read this story and you became kind of fascinated or very found it groundbreaking, perhaps, or a very interesting approach, or maybe even a field of study that you hadn't even really thought about? Was there any, and I'll start with you, Denise, is there anybody that you came across in the book that really interested you? Not to play favorites. I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. I find all of them very interesting women.
Well, I kind of, in one way, have been playing favorites with the two of the ladies that I brought in because Leslie Palm, for example, she's somebody that I've known for quite a few years. And she is a very interesting person because she's a doctor of divinity. And she is also a psychic and a sensitive. She calls herself psychic as opposed to just medium, uses the word sensitive instead. But I know that in a lot of ways she's one of those mediums that sees dead people, if you want to put it that way, in a variety of different ways. And because mediumship really looks different for every medium. And she grew up in Bisbee and still lives in that area, that general area. And when she was a little kid, she was also that tomboy person that you've been talking about. And just kind of, I think one of the things that I've always been impressed with about her and her story is that she never backed down from kind of saying, this is what I see, this is what's going on. Her parents were kind of like, okay, this is weird, you know, a little bit of that. I would have loved to have had that confidence when I was that little. And I think that was one of the things that really impressed me about her story is how she kind of just called it like she saw it from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And she's still like that. And I do admire a lot of what she does in that regard. And she's very great, good at helping other people kind of step out of their, you know, into the light, that kind of thing, and show their true colors. And I really appreciate that. And then the second person who I found fascinating was Kirsten Parsons Hathcock, because she sees and has visions of children and hears children who are missing, children who have been murdered. And she's helped a lot of law enforcement with locating these children and hopefully giving them information they can use in their investigation. And so both of them, I've learned a lot from just in knowing them and hearing their stories.
Well, and especially the peace of mind that she could bring to someone with that ability.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the families.
Yeah, this came to her late, you know, in the case of Kirsten, it came to her not that many years ago. And it was something that she basically denied at first. She's like, I must be going crazy. You know, this is weird. But the children wouldn't leave her. They kept coming back to her. And as it is with a lot of mediums, there'll be a certain type of spirit that will contact us even more than just the regular person. You know, in my case, it's suicide, people who commit suicide and sometimes murder, but in her case, it was murdered children. So it's one of those things that we kind of vibed with on that level, is understanding mediumship that becomes apparent to you later in life.
I can't let you say that without asking a follow-up question about you, Denise.
Sure.
Especially if you can communicate with people who have left this earth in a sudden, tragic way.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, seems like that would be a lot for you to deal with. That it would be difficult.
You know, you would think, but the weird thing in my case, I think, is that the spirits who have had that situation and that was their ending, they, as I've had various mediums that I've studied with explain to me, is that spirits will usually come to the person who they think can handle whatever it is. So what I've discovered from learning that and from having those people who've ended their life or who've been murdered is that they realize that I can handle it. So like just a quick example is one of the first times that I realized that this was a thing for me was I was doing a reading for this lady and she said, you know, I was giving her the impressions of what I was getting. And I said that there's something about a cellar. And I said, there's a woman who's walking down the stairs and I feel like something with her throat. And I put my own hands up to my throat because I was sensing that there was something going on with that. I had no clue why she was going in the cellar. I had no clue why it had anything to do with her throat. And the lady, she started to cry. She said, that's my mother-in-law, or not my mother-in-law, but my husband's grandmother.
Wow.
She committed suicide. She hung herself in the cellar.
Oh my gosh.
And so what happens with me is that I don't always know, you know, what is it I'm getting originally when it comes to that. And I do not get like physical sensations of their death or any of that kind of thing. So to make a long story very short, I'm picking up the information or seeing the information, but it does not impact me in the way that you think it might. So the spirit realizes I can handle what's coming in.
That's interesting. Because I would think...
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I would think it would be much more difficult and difficult for you to process even.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that what you said about they know that you can handle it.
They can, and because of that, I've started taking and have completed some forensic type of mediumship courses with the idea of perhaps helping people, you know, in that way. So it's been good for me because then it makes me realize that there's something else that I can maybe contribute to this that I wouldn't have known about or understood before.
And I think too, when people pass like that, they need a story told, or maybe there's some unfinished business, or they want someone to know, look, I love you. Like I could see how they would want to reach out to someone like you to communicate that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the case with a lot of mediums. It's just, what is it they can handle and the spirits that recognize it and can come to them for that reason.
So interesting. Man, Denise, you and I could talk about this for the next hour.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
There's your next show. Have Denise on.
We're going to do
you go.
That.
There you go.
I need Marie to have her own show, Denise to have her own show. Nicole and I, of course, will do another one. Marie, was there anyone that you found in the book that maybe a story that really drew you in or something that you could really connect to or someone you found surprising that you didn't know their story?
They're all fabulous. I have a real soft spot for Sophia Temporelli's story. But I think that, you know, and each woman, I mean, I hate to pick one or two, but
it's impossible.
I was raised the daughter of a scientist, and I'm always drawn to the women that are involved in trying to find the science behind these things. And I think, you know, Jill Hansen is someone that I literally was so intimidated by the first time I was on her show, Q Science. She's brilliant. She was able to talk about quantum and theoretical physics with the big boys. And I had written a lot about that, too. And I just loved the idea that there was this woman out there who could play on that playing field and, you know, take science and take the paranormal and try to find connections and links. And I also love Dr. Heather Lynn because she takes history and archaeology, and she's sort of a dark archaeologist who focuses on occult and paranormal aspects that that sort of merge with historical and archaeological finds and discoveries. And I thought that was so cool. Mm-hmm. I was like, I didn't know you could do that. But every single one in here you know, that are just like, oh my God, what a cool story. You know, true. Wow, I didn't know that happened to you.
Agreed. Yeah, I thought there was so many interesting people. Thing is if we talked about every single one of them, then they don't have to buy the book. But everyone needs to sit down and read this book. I think you'll find inspiring women in there. And I'm not just talking, this is not just for women, by women, about women. This is something that men can read, and I hope they do, and kind of appreciate the contributions that women have made in this field. So it's not just about like, look at us, we're girls. It's not that. It's just pointing out these contributions, which I find so fascinating in so many different ways. And Nicole, was there any one or two that you could highlight?
Yeah, you know, every single woman is so unique and their stories are just incredible. There's three in the Pacific Northwest who are friends of mine, and one is Mary Bethune, and so she's a nurse and she's really active in the instrumental trans communication ITC research area. Another one, Linda Myers, she also embraces shamanism as well. She actually was tested by the Edgar Cayce Institute and was found to be intuitive. So she does a lot of intuitive type of work, teaches paranormal boot camp classes at conferences, just an all around amazing person. Jill Straub is another one. She co-founded with Seth Michael the White Light Paranormal Insight Group up in the Pacific Northwest. And they are predominantly a metaphysical type of group. I mean, they employ, you know, gadgets and tools of the trade, but they work primarily embracing psychic mediumship and channeling, and boy, do they get a lot of incredible results. They've helped a lot of earthbounds, a lot of spirits kind of reach a resolution, so to speak. So those three I definitely wanted to highlight. But I mean, every single, it's, you know, there are no favorites. It's just every single woman is just so incredible, and their story really speaks to us on so many levels. So it's been amazing.
I think, too, it kind of, when you read all of the stories, it kind of opens your mind to what else is out there. You don't realize there are women studying this or women who are pursuing this.
Right.
Just like the skunk apes. I didn't even know they existed.
That's so fascinating.
And so then when you find out there's someone studying them, then I'm like, well, what the heck is a skunk ape? And so then I have to do a deep dive into that. But that's what I found so interesting, the variety of women and what they brought to this book. It was just very, very interesting.
And there's so many more out there.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh, we just did a show the other night and we found out that there's this 80-year-old woman, I think was it Kansas? I don't quite remember, who turned her house into this Bigfoot museum.
I got to get her name.
Yes.
Helen something?
Helen, I'm blanking on it off the top of my head. But my goodness, she wrote a book and everything. 80 years old and she's doing this. God bless her, you know, that's amazing.
Yeah.
How the heck, like that's, you know what, I've done what I need to do. I've got everything I need to take care of. I'm turning my house into a Bigfoot museum.
I think she had experiences as a child that kind of started her obsession.
Right.
I never heard of her. I felt like, huh? Didn't I know who this person is? And oh my God, it'd be so great to put her in the next book if we know.
I know.
How we've, you know, where we could find out about, between all the women that we know we missed, quote unquote. But other people saying, oh, you need to talk to her, or there's this woman and this person. And it's like, oh, shoot.
I was going to ask if there's going to be a part two, because it does seem to me like once you do this book, then people are saying, you should talk to this person. You should talk to that person. There's a whole nother book waiting, I would think.
We'll see. I mean, it's a lot of work. It was really exhausting. But if it continues to, you know, do really well and people ask for that, I'm sure we'll be open to it.
Yeah, never say never.
That's right.
And I don't
just
think
have to wait and see.
I don't think for those of us who have never written a book, we don't realize, we don't think about all that goes into it. But when it comes to writing a book, there's so many moving parts to it.
Yeah. And also there's a lot of women out there that, but you don't know how many of them will actually come through. And that's a real challenge, because if you're going to announce we're doing a volume two, and then you don't end up getting enough women to actually commit, you know, then it's kind of like, oh, okay, well, maybe not.
Right.
But we'll see. We'll see.
Now, as far as purchasing the book, like I got it through Amazon. I downloaded it through my Kindle. Is that the best place to go? Or sometimes I can go directly.
Don't sell direct.
Okay.
But it's on, Amazon Imprint and Digital, Barnes & Noble in digital, and I believe print is coming, Apple Books, Google. It's on just about it's just about everywhere you can buy books. So people, and if it's not, then we would hope that people would, like your public library, ask for it, because they will order it. And that helps us get into more places.
So. Oh, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. So ask for that at your library. And a lot of libraries, you can download them to their apps.
You can get ebooks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love libraries. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I do want to include information on each of you that I can put on the description of the page.
Mm-hmm.
So, do each of you have a website or some place they could go?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Marie, what is yours?
MarieDJones.com. Super easy.
That one was really easy. Marie D, like David, right?
You got to put the D in there.
Okay.
Otherwise, you get a whole lot of other people that are not me.
And then that way, I'll put a little link right on the landing page so they could click there. Denise, what would your... the best place for you be?
I've got two.
Okay.
My writer's site is deniseagnew.com. No A in there, because won't get you to me if you put the A in there. And then my mediumship and oracle reading and all of that is agnewcreativemedium.com.
Okay.
That's it.
And Nicole, what's the best place for you? You've got several.
Mine would be NicoleDStrickland.com.
Well, this was such an interesting conversation. This was something I'd been looking forward to for quite a while. Nicole told me about the book quite a while back. And I was like, can we do an episode? Can we please do an episode? So it was a joy to get to talk to each of you today.
That was a great discussion. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for your time. And I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
That wraps up our conversation about the book Women on the Fringe, Groundbreaking Women in the Paranormal, with authors Denise A. Agnew, Marie D. Jones, and Nicole Strickland. You can purchase the book wherever books are sold. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, you can become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or you can go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.